Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Today we're talking Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Reunion Part 3, Real Housewives of New York City Reunion Part 3, Southern Charm, and that insane episode of Real Housewives of Potomac.
Plus, we have interviews with Austin Kroll from Southern Charm and Karen Huger from The Real Housewives of Potomac.
But first, we have to give a big congratulations to Cynthia Bailey and Mike Hill for getting engaged over the weekend.
Did you hear? Her ring cost $85,000.
That's pocket change, okay.
Yeah, what does Mike do?
He's a news correspondent.
Okay.
So he's in entertainment. He's making a good amount of money. And Cynthia deserves it.
I mean, 1,000%.
So the proposal actually happened during the grand opening of the Bailey Wine Cellar in Atlanta. Mike was giving a speech when his daughter Kayla interrupted and handed him a bottle of wine with a question mark on it. From there, Noelle, my girl Noelle, handed Mike a ring box and he got down on one knee.
All three of Mike and Cynthia's daughters then held up a sign that said, "Can we be a family?" I mean, Eric's like legit tearing up.
That is really beautiful. And Cynthia said yes, and her ring is a 5-carat princess cut solitaire ring.
Nice.
I don't know things about rings, so I feel like that sounds really beautiful.
Princess cuts like the square.
That's like really in right now. That's what like...
They're always like trends and rings.
Well, except unless you're Lady Gaga. Remember her ring from Taylor Kinney was like a pink heart shape or something? Gentlemen, if you're listening.
No heart-shaped jewelry ever.
None of that. Okay, let's get into Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Reunion Part 3.
Okay, so do you see what I was saying when I said to you that just Camille was so emotional the whole reunion, like really up and down, and she could not pull it together. I mean, she was crying through everything.
Right, and I was kind of thinking about it that, you know, throughout this whole entire season, everything that Camille has been through, we actually didn't get to really see her grieve. So part of me wonders, and we don't know what she was doing in private, but part of me wonders if all of this kind of came together just at the weirdest and like wrong time for her, and it was on the reunion stage. But I don't know.
Yeah, I think she had not one single ally on the couches in her mind. And I think that probably is a very bad feeling to feel all these women looking at you like you're the enemy.
Well, and to be fair, on that front is that we saw in the after show clip that everyone kind of did say some really negative things and mean girl kind of things about her wedding when they showed, you know, Teddy saying that her favorite part of the wedding was leaving.
What was the best part of Camille's wedding, you think?
The departure.
That's pretty hurtful.
But as Teddy has said, she didn't say that until after all the like two-sidedness she saw of Camille in interviews.
Right. That's the thing. The timing gets kind of tricky.
Right.
When you think about it. But yeah, they saw all of that stuff that was happening on the show. So by the time they filmed the after show, they were like, well, of course our favorite part was leaving. Look at the way Camille really feels about us.
I also thought it was weird, her reaction, when Andy brought up the Judge Kavanaugh and the hearings and that whole argument she got in with Lisa Rinna. Camille just said, victims should be believed.
I don't know. I just feel that people need to voice, to get their voices out and be heard and be believed. Yeah, people need to be believed.
Yeah, I think she was still dancing around her perhaps fundamental political beliefs and just sort of knew the backlash that she got for the way she didn't really stand up for one side of that situation and just sort of tried to play it off. So Camille didn't really say at the reunion whether she believed Dr. Ford, if she was on her side or if she was on Judge Kavanaugh's side, but I feel like she tried to just like quickly sweep it under the rug and just give sort of the most acceptable explanation by saying victims should be believed. I think, and that was the point she was trying to make at that dinner as well, but also
she saw him as the victim.
Exactly.
Okay, so then the other part that really frustrated me is Denise being like, Camille, why did you act like you and I like that I couldn't empathize with your situation because I had a rented home that got burned down instead of, you know. And Camille said, I don't have an answer for that. That is infuriating to me.
Yeah.
And you could tell it was for Denise too, because she was like, this is why we think before we speak.
Right.
Like, you can't just say terrible things about someone and then not be able to either fully apologize and explain where you were coming from. You know,
Like Lisa Rinna says, own it. Like, she should have owned it more. And the way she sort of threw it aside was a little inappropriate and kind of immature. And we also see, almost in the same moment, Denise apologizing for something she didn't even say.
I said, maybe reassure your daughter.
Mm-hmm. I heard you say that because I was wrong. There.
And that she was in a hurry and make her feel better no matter what happened.
I remember that also, but then. But I don't, there was something
and if I
too.
Said that, I really don't think I ever would say something like that, but if I did, I'm very sorry.
Like, she apologizes. She's like, well, if I did say that, Camille, like, I'm sorry that I said that. And she didn't even. They played the footage back, and none of the things that Camille was really accusing Denise of saying, she didn't say any of them.
Don't you wish it could be sort of like a Olympic situation where you're like, hold on, we have something in from the judges. No, she did not say that.
Right. Like, I feel like that would be interesting, like having a panel of three judges throughout a reunion and like whenever anything is confusing.
They're like, we're taking a 5-minute break to check the footage.
Right.
Okay, no, she did not say that. She did not tell you to tell your daughter to shut the fuck up.
I would love to have that job because I feel like that's a little bit our job here.
Yes,
is to
totally.
Like hold everyone accountable and be like, wait a minute, let's play the footage again. Like, well, we're happy to do that production if you need us to come to the next
totally.
Reunion. Thank you. Another thing that I thought was kind of interesting is that Camille said her wedding only cost $120,000, which obviously is a lot of money, but in the grand scheme of like...
Especially in Hawaii, where I feel like everything is so expensive.
Right? I felt like that was not that bad. Like,
yeah.
I was like, I feel like I've been to friends' weddings that are more than that.
Yeah.
My friends are rich. Or they're like spending beyond their means, but right. like whatever. But I just was kind of surprised. And then, of course, she had no idea what her first wedding cost because that was probably like millions of dollars. But hey.
Because of the security.
So I think we have to just kind of wrap up the Beverly Hills portion talking about LVP, Kyle, the whole situation. And I think this part of the reunion really made me rethink about how many assumptions were made about this Radar Online article. There's still nowhere along the journey hard proof of who did it or what. So I think there's still a lot of assumptions that were made, and it is what it is. It's all kind of too late. But I really felt so bad, again, watching that footage back of how much fun Kyle and Lisa used to have together and the friendship that we lost and they lost.
It's very sad. There is no happy ending to this.
I also kept thinking back to the interview that we had with Lisa Vanderpump when the teaser trailer for the season had first come out and she was in to talk about Vanderpump Rules because it had just started. And we were talking to her just about, you know, how she was doing, where she was in her sort of grief. And she was really open and candid about being depressed and going to therapy and being on medication and very transparent about the struggles she was going through. We only got a few moments of her really mentioning that on this season of Beverly Hills. But I think that did probably factor a lot into the way she reacted to these situations. I think she was depressed.
Yeah. But I can't help but think that Kyle had a point when she said it was very calculated, even the way Lisa quit the show.
I mean, I think there are a lot of things that everyone could have done differently. And this is the hand everyone was dealt. And this is how it is. But it was kind of really sad to just see Kyle get as emotional, too, because you could really tell that she felt she's lost someone who was really close to her. And I think she was holding on throughout this whole reunion to the small hope that Lisa would show up. And, you know, they had run into each other apparently at Neiman Marcus. So I think she had this hope that Lisa would come and they would all be able to kind of resolve something. And I think maybe Kyle never really got her closure from the whole thing.
Totally.
Real Housewives of New York City Reunion Part 3.
We're here. We're at the finish line.
We're at the finish line. I want to start at the end and work our way backwards.
Okay.
Luann using the AA prayer for a toast.
That made me cringe very hard. Not because I think there's anything wrong with that prayer.
Right.
I think that it definitely holds its purpose and a lot of meaning to people. It just felt a little weird given the setting.
I think the point of the prayer is that it is not supposed to be a toast. Do you know what I mean? Like, right. The toast is what we are trying to stop doing.
Right. Now, granted, they weren't drinking alcohol. Right, everyone yes. had a non-alcoholic beverage. But still, it just felt out of place, in my opinion.
I 100% agree. And I feel like everyone probably did in that moment. But it was also very Luann.
Right.
You know, like, I was not in the least bit surprised by that choice.
What about her choice to interrupt what was a very intimate moment where Ramona and Bethany are talking about their abusive childhoods, and Luann's like, oh, hey, Andy, what time is it?
And he's like, are you kidding? Like, and she's like, no.
We're in a moment right now. And she's like, I know, I just, you know.
Oh, shoot, it's 45 minutes later. Oh,
I was supposed to do my thing. Oh.
What time
really
is it,
did.
Andy? I'm sorry to
interrupt. Made me really sad.
No, we never had a childhood.
Yeah.
Having a serious conversation.
I know. Because, you know, when you're normal, I guess you just assume everyone's going to be normal.
Which, I get it. It's court-appointed. That's an important thing. But once again, it's always about Luann.
And why not actually tell somebody in production, can we schedule a break around this time because I have to do this? To interrupt that moment and do that aside to Andy while Andy's also trying to pay attention and, like, take advantage of this moment. It was a big moment between Bethany and Ramona. But again, peak Luann.
Peak Luann.
Okay, we have to talk about Barbara and her legs.
Was it not crazy? She was literally silver.
Yeah.
Because there was so much bronzer.
Such shine. And all the ladies address it, too. And who was it? Bethany tried to, like, wipe her off a little bit. Was like, let's get some of this off of you.
I mean, do you think Barbara has too much tanner on her arm right now? Because I absolutely. Have got... Right, so you would say that to us in the bathroom. Like,
too much shimmer.
Too much
She's
shimmer,
like the
baby.
Tin Man.
Thank you.
I'm next to the Tin Man.
There's an Amy Schumer sketch where she plays, like, an actress on the, like on a talk show, and you see her leg get progressively shinier and shinier and shinier. It looked just like that.
That's exactly what was happening. We also, in regards to Barbara, finally get her kind of addressing these sexuality rumors.
Did you have reservations about discussing your past relationships with women on camera?
Originally, yes, but I think also in the big picture, no, because I think that it was important for, you know, people to know that there are people like me that are on the spectrum that, you know, and I went out with a woman for a year.
That's great.
You know, so am I bisexual? Do you want to call me bisexual and label me? Go ahead.
Which I was happy to hear, and I was happy that she clarified it's, you know, not like gender fluidity is different than like being on, you know, a spectrum of sexuality, being like, oh, I'm just somewhere, you know, along this spectrum here, not like gender fluid. Like, she's a woman. She identifies as a woman. That's different. So I'm glad Sonia got that clarification. I'm glad we also did, too, because I think it's important.
And I like that Barbara was honest and said, yeah, like, I had reservations about being honest about being with a woman,
yeah,
you know, before, because I didn't want to be labeled a certain way.
Right. And that's interesting, too, because last season of Vanderpump Rules, when the whole Ariana Lala hooking yes. up thing came up, Ariana said the exact same thing in her interview. She was sort of like, yes, I've been with women before. That's something that I don't personally hide. But she's also like, but I don't reveal it that much or talk about it that much because I know how people can run with that and just kind of generalize, oh, well, she's just a lesbian. Like, she just was trying to clarify, well, there is a spectrum there in terms right. of sexuality. There is such a thing as bisexuality, and it just, like, it doesn't have to be. It's hard when you have to explain yourself all the time to right. people. So I understand that. Barbara also does not do well with the hot mic. She's constantly getting caught with her foot in her mouth, whether it's a few seasons ago with the Tom situation or sitting at Luann's show talking shit about Luann.
I will say, though, it is easy to forget you have a mic on.
Right.
I mean, especially if you don't have a camera on your face, like, I can see how it happens. I think the lesson is you're just not supposed to talk shit about people, But that's very hard.
I think we'll also get to that hot mic lesson later on when we talk about Potomac.
Ooh.
The last thing I want to say is that Sarah from Mar Vista is my personal hero in this episode because she compared, well, didn't compare Luann to Liza, but clarified that Luann is a cabaret star.
Hey, Luann.
And Liza is a singer.
Liza. Right. Okay.
Exactly. And that goes down in history. Look at my phone case. It's got Liza on it.
I mean, do I love it?
I will say that Luann did work with Billy Stritch, who worked with Liza for a very, very long time. So as much as she is not Liza, and Liza is her own caliber of just human to me, they did work together.
How do you think the women did in terms of answering Andy's question, is Luann a good singer?
Well, I made a gif of the moment where Bethany kind of stumbles on her words because she's sort of like she doesn't know what to say. And I think everyone was like gentle enough.
Except Ramona. Well, Ramona was like, well, you can't carry a tune.
I mean, as we have learned about Ramona, she has zero filter and she'll tell you that. But I think everyone was trying to just be like, no, there's a difference between being a singer and being a cabaret star. And I think sometimes that line gets blurred for even Luann, but she has a gimmick. This is the gimmick. It's cabaret star. I mean, think of that woman up in, you know, upstate.
Yeah.
Money can't buy you class. Like, that woman's not a singer, right, but she's a cabaret star.
Okay, so we had been waiting for this episode of Southern Charm because we had heard about it at the beginning of the season in terms of the drama and how things really ramp up between Madison and Shep and that it somehow involved Danny. Holy shit.
Holy shit. It's really radical because Madison's accusation, I think to Catherine's point later on in the episode, it really kind of messed up girl code in a lot of ways. Because as much as she was going, like Madison was going at it with Shep, she really threw Danny under the bus.
Even just to take two steps back, I don't even understand what had Madison so angry at Shep again. Because I thought they had sort of worked things out last episode when they were having the, what do you call that dinner?
They were having the cannabis dinner.
Cannabis dinner.
And she got the gummy from him.
Yeah, and they like seemed okay. Then they go to the hot springs and she's having this conversation with Austin, but still Shep's not really involved in that so much. But then they're in that lodge together and she's pissed at him and wants to hurt him in any way she can.
Yeah. I think if Madison's goal is to get back together with Austin, which is still kind of unclear what the goal is there, she can't necessarily be pushing Shep and Craig away.
Right.
Because they are Austin's friends, and as much as, like, to her point, perhaps their influence on him is too strong, and she thinks that maybe Austin is not able to make decisions on his own, and he's trusting his friend's perspective too much, she should probably be working harder to, like, yeah, Shep, like, let's have some weed gummies together. Maybe, like, chumming up with him and not making these crazy accusations that are just going to turn everyone, including Austin, against her.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know what moment it was that really upset her. I mean, obviously, Shep has said things in the past, and I guess she says that she doesn't think his apology was sincere or whatever.
So then Madison makes this claim.
What do you think you know about me?
What do I think I know about you?
Yeah. I have nothing to hide.
You sure about that?
Yeah.
I heard you gave her chlamydia.
What? And you can tell as soon as she says it, she knows that she's messed up.
Yeah.
Like, she was near tears when Austin came in and then eventually did cry. And, like, I know that feeling. That feeling where you feel like, well, I was backed into a corner, so I just said the first thing that came to my mind. And I should not have said that.
Right. And it's sort of like you have to be really careful if you're going to throw something like that out. You have to know for a fact something's a fact. And, you know, Danny has actually since spoken to BravoTV.com and she wanted to clarify that the rumors are untrue. She was very hurt by everything. She didn't feel like she was supposed to be involved. So you guys can check out that article on BravoTV.com. But I just think it was a huge misstep with Madison in order to just get back in with this group and get back on everyone's good graces, including Austin.
It was also crazy, though, because as much as you could tell she regretted it, she was doubling down and she was like, fuck Danny. Danny's right. The one that started all this with that Instagram comment.
So what, you just start going in on people?
Yeah, fuck her. She's the one that started that whole shit with us.
Which pisses me off because Danny did nothing wrong. All she did was say, this is weird that Madison did this.
As any one of us really would do. I think any one of us would have done what Danny did. Very few of us would have made such an accusation as Madison did.
Now, I'll tell you who really fucked up this episode. That's Eliza. Girl was sleeping the whole time.
Truly. I mean, she had some opportunity, I think, to get a little crazy on this trip. It's always about the trips.
Truly.
You got to show up and you got to show off. And she took a nap. What do we think about her boyfriend?
Meh.
Right?
There was some added context, I think, to this whole Shep Madison thing on the Southern Charm After Show. And I thought it was interesting that Cameron, Seth, and Austin were talking about that Shep can be really antagonizing when he wants to be and can make you feel very little, and that in that way they could understand why Madison felt the need to come at him.
Yeah.
But I think we're also like, but why would you throw Danny and Austin under the bus?
Exactly. I think that's a little bit of Craig's point too. So why don't we take a listen to that clip?
My understanding of it all, you know, Shep was goading her. Like, come on, I dare you. I will out-argue you all
and
day,
Shep
little girl.
And Shep does do that.
He can belittle you.
Shep knows how to...
He prides himself in making you feel, as he always says, this small.
Yeah.
And she goes, well, if it wasn't for you and Shep, and I was like, oh, come on. Like, Merch, like, are you kidding
and there
me?
Always has to be an enemy with her and them.
It was an attack. Instead of, like, discussing what was going on, you attacked with something just so not related that she was throwing her boyfriend under the bus. She was throwing everyone under the bus.
She operates out of spite. And I think any way that she can pull, like, somebody else in it at that time, or if she thinks she has ammunition and it may include an innocent victim, she'll say it. She doesn't care if it's true.
She said some really harmful, awful things and said that Austin...
Out of nowhere.
And said that Austin's told her them. Basically, same as the screenshot text.
She went to tear everything down because she just
and
got
then, yeah, she, again, she'd rather burn the city than bow out.
When someone's backed into a corner, when a fighter is backed into a corner, they bring out everything in their arsenal.
Well, are they fighting or are they stooping to the same level?
Right.
Once you say something, like, it's out there. And yeah. You can regret it, but it doesn't change, like, the behavior and how people perceive you at that point.
It does make me question, probably, what I would confide in with Madison.
I'm like, are they trying to get back at me because of, like, the stupid Instagram message? Like, that's what was going through my head. And I'm like, these people are crazy. They're crazy.
It was obvious that, you know, that was, like, out of nowhere, out of the blue for her to just, like, bring you into it.
I don't know the truth. I know that it wasn't truthful, but I stewed on it for a while, and she kind of proved my point. She proved what I called her the whole time, and that just goes to tell you, always trust your instinct. She showed me and all of us exactly who she was.
One of the things separate from the whole Madison situation and all of that, going back to a little bit of like Catherine and the weed situation, I thought it was a really interesting point that she brought up in terms of like being in a place where weed is legal and knowing that just a few short years ago, it was something that caused her to lose custody of her children. And I think it speaks to a much larger issue in terms of like weed and its legality in different states and sort of what's going to happen to people who are, you know, being affected by getting arrested for it, who are currently serving time for it. So I feel like Catherine maybe was starting to get onto something like, oh, shoot, like this is a much bigger issue than just like me being uncomfortable at this dinner. Like this speaks to a bigger issue even in the country.
Yeah. And just I think it hitting her, the hypocrisy of being called a drug addict by people who were partaking in that room.
Right, exactly. And I think every episode, I feel like we're seeing Catherine mature and grow older and wiser in the best way. And I feel like we're really seeing her blossom into someone that is so very different than the Catherine we met early on.
Mm.
Crazy Catherine. Mm. She's long gone.
All right, so I sat down with Austin Kroll from Southern Charm. Obviously, we had a lot to talk about since the last time I talked to him was at the very beginning of the season. So we talked some more about Madison, and he says some interesting things, you guys. Like, I got a lot of feedback on my last interview with him just in terms of how he spoke about Madison, and I found this one equally enlightening and surprising. Plus, he also shared how he's feeling about the upcoming Southern Charm reunion. So here's that interview. Austin Kroll, welcome back.
It's great to be back.
I mean, so much has happened since you were last here at the very beginning of the season.
Yeah, I'd say so. A lot has happened.
I feel like I wasn't adequately prepared for how crazy this season is.
I don't think that I was either.
Ooh.
I mean, maybe I was, because I know what's going on with my life and my whole deal, you know, but I don't know what anyone else is doing during, you know, filming. So to kind of watch how it all unfolds, yeah, it's been a bit tumultuous.
Well, I know you guys get the links early. So mm-hmm. when you receive that link, are you like excited or are you like, dear God, what's going to happen now?
Right. And so I have like a list of three people that I send it to. And I'm like, just tell me what happens. And then normally I text Chelsea or something. And I'm like, what happened? Give me the rundown. And I really don't watch it until I need to.
Who were the three people?
My sister, my mom, and my best girlfriend, Alexandra, who lives in Chicago.
I can't believe you send it to your mom.
Yeah, I do.
I feel like that would be the last person I'd send it to.
Well, I just, like, want to prep her, you know, because I feel bad sometimes. I'm like, Mom, you know, just want you to know that these things happen, and I want you to be prepped so that, you know, no one blindsides you for what you're going to see. Or, like, you know, if you're walking down the street in the neighborhood and someone's, like, giving you a look, I just want you to be aware.
Does she give you notes on each episode?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, she's like, oh, Austin, I think you came across so genuine or something like that. And that's always sweet. You know, and then my sister's a bit more raw. And then, yeah. And then Chelsea's like, just watch it. I'm like, no, just tell me what happens. I can't.
That means that your mom has basically seen that leaked cell phone video like mm-hmm. a million times at this point because mm-hmm. they flash back to it a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
which, they certainly have.
Which brings me to a question that, like, I have to ask, okay? I don't mm-hmm. want to. Mm-hmm. I have to. Cameron asked in the after show why in that video you keep grabbing at your pecker. You didn't answer.
I mean, what's there to answer? Like, I mean, what do you want me to say? Like, it was like a calculated response of what the hell was happening at 6 a.m. on like a really bad hangover. I don't know what I was doing. Like, why didn't I put pants on? I don't know. I just don't know. I mean, you know, the only thing you can do is kind of laugh at it. And I don't know how to answer that question.
Okay.
I just don't.
Fair. okay. Colorado trip. Craig has a bit of a meltdown. Now, when I watched, I thought maybe there's something we're not seeing. Like, there was a lot of buildup to why he was so annoyed with everyone, especially Whitney and Cam. Was there something we didn't see that led to Craig sort of fit, his, like, meltdown over everyone being so complainy?
I don't know. You know, it could have been lack of sleep. I mean, I, like, want to say that that's uncharacteristic. But, I mean, look at the past, you know, few episodes. Like, I mean, he flipped on me at Cam's party for no reason. And I don't know. I think that he was just sick and tired of everyone's shit, to be honest. And I thought that it was funny, right? Because I was sitting there and it was like, you know, it is frustrating, you know, when Whitney does like his nose in the air thing and then Cam just follows suit and it like pisses me off. I'm like, of course, nothing is good enough for Whitney. And then Cam's like, yeah, you're right. This bus is dangerous. I'm like, you mean the bus that takes thousands of people up the mountain every single day? You're not cool with it? So, you know, that's what I was thinking. But Craig just, you know, had a little meltdown. And it really was a meltdown. Sorry, buddy. But you're a nut.
Who of the group is the worst to travel with?
Oh, Craig. Absolutely. I have travel stories with Craig for days where... I mean, he's always down to travel, like on the spur of a moment, which is great, which is why I reach out to him and I'm like, hey, you know, let's go see Whitney in Miami. He bailed on me there. I mean, I wake up in the morning and I'm like, all right, Craig, let's get lunch or breakfast. Because that's what you eat in the morning. And Craig's like, my night was too big. I'm back in Charleston. Like, what? You just left me. And he did it. He did it to me in L.A. where he overslept. And we, like, had a flight back to – and he just – I mean, there's just, like, endless stories where Craig has screwed me in travel.
He's a deserter.
He's a deserter.
Ugh, the worst. Well, you and Madison, after the hot tub, you both say, like, a very nice, friendly goodnight. Mm-hmm. What happens when the cameras, like, go down, though?
I mean, I think. So, on night one, we legitimately slept in our own beds. Night two was a different story. We end up together. You know, and I think that we both were, like, it was, like, our first time kind of seeing each other. And I think that I was just happy that, like, we were playing nice. And weren't arguing, and I was like, let's not push this. Let's not dive back into this, like, immediately at the first opportunity, right? Because I'm sure on either end it could have been like a, why don't you follow me this way? And I think that we both were just like, let's slow play.
What brings you guys back together? Like, despite ups and downs, like, what brings you guys back to each other again?
I don't know. I mean, doesn't everyone kind of have that person out there? I feel like everyone can relate to, like, not being able to quit someone, or, like, there's someone in your life that's, like, your own personal brand of heroin. And that's kind of what Madison is for me. And despite friends and people, you know, trying to tell you that a person is bad for you, I mean, you just can't help it. You just can't help it. So, I think that she's just a lot of fun and she makes me laugh, and you just wouldn't expect. I mean, I certainly did not expect. I was like, this girl's just going to be like a pretty face, boring as hell. And it's not the case. We just have a lot of fun together.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Both Craig and Shep have been in here recently, and they kind of both have said they think the reunion is going to be insane. Do you agree?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's an understatement. You know, and that's not really me trying to build it up. Like, yeah, people, you got to watch. I just think that lots of people have lots of things to say, including myself. You know, every year on the reunion, you know, the question gets asked, like, what are you most nervous about? And I'm like, I'm nervous to get called on my shit. But what are you most excited about? I'm nervous to call people on their shit. And I just think that, you know, I mean, I've been through a lot this season, and it only gets worse. And the reunion, you know, and I just feel like not everyone can say that, and that's okay. I mean, if your life is great and you're not going through, you know, some shit, then that's great. I am envious of you. But if you are going through some shit and it's not on camera and you're on this show, that disappoints me.
You don't have to say what it is, but who are you talking about?
No. We'll wait. Okay. We'll wait. And that's not like a threat or anything. I'm not like, you know, I'm not coming at somebody. I just think that there's just, you know, a lot that's going to happen. And obviously I'm going to be talking for a long time, which I'm dreading. You know, it's going to be a lot of Madison talk. And, it's like, I are my friends going to hold like an intervention for me and be like, Austin, Madison is, you know, I don't know. So I think that the reunion will, yeah. I think it's going to be a lot of people are going to have a lot of things to say.
Okay, well, if the Madison stuff is going to be a big point of topic, which I think, yes, you're right, it will be, obviously, and you describe her as your own personal brand of heroin, do you think...
Well, when you say it back to me, it sounds awful. But...
Do you think Madison is healthy for you?
I don't know. No. No. You know, but when we're good, you know, and whether that's friendly or like relationshipy, life is just better, you know, it's like more even keel for me. And when we're not good, it's like, it's like anxiety ridden. And I don't know, you know, I mean, Shep tries to ask me at one point too, you know, he's like, help me to understand. And I'm like, it is, you know, innate. I don't know what you want me to say to you.
Where are things with you, Shep, and Craig right now?
Oh, man. Shep, Craig, and I are great. You know, they're like my two idiot brothers. And, you know, and like we act as such. Yeah, I mean, we see each other often, you know, whenever we're all three in town. There's certainly like one of my first phone calls. And, yeah. I mean, did you see that workout video that we posted? You know, and I feel like that's just like kind of what it is. You know, we all hang out, we all do dumb shit together and just have a blast.
Yeah. And are you all hanging out with Madison at this point?
No.
No. Separate worlds.
Separate. Yeah. I mean, you know, Craig and Madison are friends. They've known each other. You know, but that doesn't mean that he thinks that she's good for me. And Shep is certainly, you know, kind of drawn a line in the sand on that one.
Got it. And I know that when you first came in earlier this season, you had a lot of feelings about Ashley even making an appearance this season. Do you believe her conspiracy theories about Patricia?
I don't even know what her conspiracy theories are.
That Patricia is the one who is filling Ashley's head with bad stuff about Catherine.
I don't know. I just don't know. I mean, Ashley is, it's like, I don't even want to like talk about her. Cause it's like, you know, I mean, she puts like a new target on someone's back. You know, she's going after Patricia and she's let me say this. It doesn't matter. It does not matter what Patricia has said to Ashley about Catherine. Ashley's rebuttal has involved like an AK-47. It's involved like put a pillow over my head and like don't let go. I mean, you know, do I think that she's actually going to kill Patricia? No, but like you don't say that and you don't joke about that. And so regardless of what Miss Patricia has said, it's inexcusable behavior. That's what I'll say.
Lastly, is there anything feedback-wise you've been getting from fans that you just feel like they've gotten wrong or that you want to sort of clear up?
Well, I don't really, like, check Twitter because that's not good for my mental health.
I understand that.
And, you know, the messages that I get from people, like, on Instagram and such are generally...
Sexual.
No. No, you know, they're generally, you know, nice and people, you know, want to reach out and say... you know, and the question is like, where's your beer? Or like, are you and Madison together? And it's like, oh, well, we'll just keep watching. I mean, what I want to clear up. I don't know. I don't know off the top of my head.
That's all right. Yeah. You have time before the reunion.
Yeah, I do. I guess that I should think about that.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank y'all.
So Real Housewives of Potomac.
Woo.
I don't even know where to start.
Okay, well, before we get to the, like, real juicy stuff at the end, episode opens, charges have been dropped against Michael. My favorite moment we get early on is Giselle popping some popcorn, taking a seat on the couch, and getting ready to watch Ashley and Michael's interview with, like, the local news.
Yeah.
Such a perfect moment of her just, like, sitting there, eating the popcorn, getting ready. Judgments are coming.
Right.
I know I'm supposed to be working right now on minding my business. But I just can't resist, child.
So he goes on, Ashley goes on, they kind of talk about the situation. Nobody's really convinced, however, at this point, that there still wasn't something that happened.
Which is interesting to me. They were all so sure something did happen. And yeah. I don't know if it's based on, because, you know, they were like, well, he has grabbed someone's butt before. Was it just that? Or was it other things? It was that maybe the relationship with the cameraman that made them trust that he wouldn't, you know, claim something that didn't happen.
Right. Well, just a few episodes ago when the allegations first come out, Ashley and Giselle are at lunch or dinner together, and Giselle's basically talking to Ashley as if she believes the allegations are true.
Right.
And Ashley's sort of like, well, then what you're saying is that you believe it happened. And Giselle's sort of like, well, yeah, I do. So everyone kind of had that idea going into it. And even at this point, they're still not convinced there wasn't a situation.
It's kind of tricky, too, because, you know, even talking about Bev Hills and the whole Judge Kavanaugh, Dr. Ford, if what you are saying, like what your principle as a person is believe victims, it doesn't matter if the person who is doing the alleged crime is your friend or not.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Well, I think the biggest red flag, too, for everybody was in the interview that Michael and Ashley do. Michael says, I bumped into him, but that was it. And everyone's sort of like, well, that just sounds like...
See, and that is always tricky because it's like, if someone says, you know, I couldn't make it to your party because I was sick all day. And you're like, oh, really? I'm like, yeah. Well, no, I mean, I did have to pop out for 1 minute to do... And you're like, oh, there's already like a change in the story a little bit.
Exactly. That was, I think, what Giselle received from that, for sure. Michael and Ashley doing their thing, trying to clear their name. It's all well and good. Another moment that I really appreciated in this episode was between Karen and her daughter Raven, being able to share that moment of watching that footage of them with Raven's grandparents and Karen's parents.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen Karen go through a lot in the last couple of years, losing both of her parents, and we've seen her grief come out in a lot of different ways. So I really loved having that moment of seeing the two of them be able to share that. Because it's really one of those sides of Karen that is so human that no matter what, you can relate to, maybe not totally relate to that experience, but you feel for her. And then you feel for Raven, too.
I feel like why you really loved that moment, though, is because it eventually led to Macy Gray showing up in the episode.
100%. Which, by the way, so once I heard that Macy Gray was showing up in this episode, I was like, oh, I wonder if she's from that area. Like, I don't know that much about Macy Gray other than her phenomenal song, I Try to Say Goodbye. And what is the name of that song anyway? I Try, I think, right?
Maybe.
Okay, so I went ahead and did a little bit of research, found out that her birth name is Natalie Renee McIntyre.
Oh, shit.
So her mother, Laura McIntyre, was from, I think, Dayton, Ohio or something like that. So I posted it on my Instagram story. For anyone, I do go by Eric J. Mack on the show, but my last name is McIntyre, just to clarify for everyone. So I posted it on my Instagram story, and one of my relatives, who generally, I think, keeps up with, like, family history and whatever, commented with, like, a hmm and a thinking face. And I was like, okay, Aunt Judy, listen, do we have any McIntyres in Dayton, Ohio? Because I need to know if I'm related to Macy Gray. So it's still up in the air. I'm sorry I don't have any more updates.
I was like waiting.
So she is coming to the next family reunion. No, I have no idea.
Judy, get on the ball.
Aunt Judy, come on. It sounds like it's a bit of a long shot. I mean, I'm trying to be related to someone. I can't have Reba. I can't have Joey McIntyre. Let me have Macy Gray.
Why can't you have them?
Well, I'm just not related to them.
Oh, okay.
And Reba spells it differently than I do.
Right.
But Joey, I mean, he's from Boston. We spell it the same way.
Yeah, and you have the same kind of
eyes. We basically look alike.
Wait, so then, like, how have you ruled him out?
I haven't done the proper research. But, like, from what I've asked our family members, there is no connection, from what I know.
Okay.
Joey, if you're listening, find me. You're my uncle. I do tell people that sometimes if I say my last name's McIntyre.
Mm.
They'll be like, oh, my God. I'll be like, yeah, Joey's my uncle. And they'll be like, really? I'm like, mm-mm, no. But maybe now I can say Macy Gray is my aunt.
That would be cool.
That would be really cool. Okay, anyway, my next question for you is, would you have a threesome with Juan and Robin?
So what would be like the pinnacle birthday thing? Like a threesome?
Tell him if he comes, he gets a threesome.
Mm, yes.
Me too.
You know why? Because I think sometimes when you're a third for another couple, you're really helping them, you know?
Right.
You're helping enrich their sex lives, enrich their relationship with a new experience. And I think that that could be helpful to Robin and Juan to
definitely
fully move on. And Juan is hot.
He is gorgeous. So then follow up to that. I agree. Definitely sign me up. Follow up to that. Later on in the episode, we hear Robin basically hints that Michael was referring to Juan.
She didn't know. Like, I mean, that's what I took. That's what my hunch has been this whole time.
Me too.
But she still didn't say anything that definitively said it.
But I think by not saying it, she said it.
Hmm.
Because, and like, I mean, I think we've talked about this in the past when the comment first came out. Who else would he be referring to?
Well, Eric, I have some good news for you.
Okay.
In the interview we're playing at the end of this episode, Karen told me definitively who he was talking about.
Okay, fine. I'll wait and listen. But I feel like I'm right. I thought you were going to be like, Eric, surprise.
It was you.
Juan is here. Juan is here to answer your question. Okay, fantastic. Great. Everyone pay attention to that. It's going to be exciting. I can't wait.
Oh, my God. Can I tell you? Like, it made me LOL, but also cringe. The way editing in this episode, so they're on their way to Juan's birthday, mm-hmm. which is like the haunted forest theme. And the way they edit it is that you see just Ashley in the car, and they're playing the scary music, and then you hear Michael go, boo, and the camera shows that he's also in the car.
Right.
I was like, oh.
It's not going to be my rose, but it's one of my favorite moments from this episode is when they're at the birthday party and the creepy clown comes up to Karen and like tries to scare her and she is completely unfazed.
No.
And just turns and looks at him and flips him off like right to his face. I was just like, yes, Karen Hugart.
You know, it was going to be my rose, but it's not. Was Robin's shirt at the party, or maybe it was earlier, but it's like a butt in jeans. But it's like in where the boob should be. So oh. The butt looks like it's coming out.
Oh my God, I wasn't even paying attention
it's
to that.
It's so funny.
And usually I notice butts and boobs.
And boobs.
Especially when they're combined, for sure. Okay, so the unseen footage.
Hey, bud. All right.
You're standing back there with that camera.
Please don't do that.
Okay.
Don't do that.
All right, no problem. Let's just break down exactly what we saw.
Right.
So it's a couple different angles, a couple different cameras. It's from the rainbow party.
You never actually see anything. I think that's important.
Right.
What you do see is that the group is posing for a couple's photo. They're like, where's Michael? And Ashley's like, he went inside. It's too hot. Then you see Michael come outside. Don't see as he's walking, but you hear the cameraman's, or you, I think you hear Michael say, hey, buddy.
Yeah, how's it going?
And the cameraman says, don't do that.
And he's like, huh? What? He's like, don't do that again.
And he's like, okay, okay.
Yeah. Well, so what we get is not necessarily a visual on what happened, but what we do get is the audio. And again, my reference earlier about the hot mic and Barbara from Roni and like getting caught in that. So we have now audio evidence of the cameraman saying, don't do that. And Michael obviously being present because he's like, oh, hey, man, whatever.
And I think what I took away from this that I don't think you can get in a transcript is the tone with which the camera guy said it.
Yeah.
It was in a way that was like, I am not happy with what's happening right now.
Exactly. There was some real intent there. Like he was really being like, no, like, don't do that again. And then to think he walked over and took like a family picture with Ashley. So I don't know what's going to unfold moving forward from this. I don't know what it all means in the grand scheme of things, what it means for the allegations. I mean, the charges have been dropped. Like, so I feel like we're going to see next week exactly how this impacts everyone and the situation. But whew.
Intense. So I sat down with Karen Huger from Real Housewives of Potomac, and we really went in on the iconic butter knife dinner, plus the current status of her friendship with Giselle. And as I teased before, who it was that Michael was talking about in the sausage. Here's the interview. Karen Huger, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here. Thank you for having me back.
Yes. Well, because we had to talk about this season, which is just so crazy.
It's amazing. Some of the things I wish weren't happening, but it's our reality, and we're bringing it, and we're sharing it, and we're talking about it honestly.
I need to know what it felt like to be in the room when the butter knife came out.
Well, first of all, the butter knife was in her hand the whole time. So it's not like Candace had an option. It was there, so let's use it. Bang, 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 you know? When it flipped out of her hand was my concern. Thank God it went into the corner and no one was hit by it. I'm very grateful for that. I love myself some Candace now. You know that. But, you know, Ashley pushed her buttons and I don't know how I would have handled it. I'm sure I would have put the knife down. I'm just saying, I would have put the butter knife down. But it was shocking. It was crazy. It was insane when I look at it now. Looking at it with you all, I was numb.
Well, and even more shocking for me was the amount of times Ashley kept coming back to the party.
I you know what? Let's give Giselle some credit here. I hate talking about Giselle in my interviews, okay? But honestly, Giselle brought her back there. And encouraged her to come back in, which was a no-no, in my opinion. It was too hot a situation. This is the one time that the pot stirrer of our group needed to bow out, and she didn't. And thank God it didn't go too far left. It was borderline, though. So Ashley, though, is the person in control of Ashley. And if I were her, I would have kept my dignity and kept walking. But she wanted to come back in and make a mess, and she did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just crazy that all of that happened after a blessing was given at the table. What would have happened if there wasn't that prayer?
You know, I pray all the time. I tell everybody, I cover myself with the blood of Jesus. I covered that table with the blood of Jesus because something was wrong that night, and I could feel it. You ever been to a crazy dinner party, and you're like, okay, what is going to happen? And you guys have to understand, at this time of our filming, I was just coming out of grief. So this was, I believe, my first time being with the entire group. And this is my introduction back into it. Woo! I'm just saying, you know, what an introduction. But that's us, you know.
Yeah. Well, I loved the advice you gave Candace, which is I'm going to need you to step into who you are.
And remember who you are. No one should. Yeah, I meant it. I got up because it had gone too far. I am not Candace's mother. Dorothy has that covered. I am Candace's friend, and Candace is a grown woman. But as a grown woman, friend to friend, I had to get up and say, remember who you are. Don't let anyone push you that far. And bottom line is, so what that Dorothy, thank God Dorothy is blessing Candace with a beautiful home. Hello. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, this is not abnormal at all for anyone to pay for their daughter to live in a beautiful home. I think that's the message that's wrong, and I don't agree with that. It's very, very nice to have generational wealth, especially in the Black community. Mm-hmm. I'm very proud of Dorothy for doing that. Now, having said that, this is Candace's home too. So to let anyone push you out of who you are and have you perform like that, I couldn't let that go on. Mm-hmm. So as her friend and her mature friend, and I call myself her God. She's like, a lot of people say, oh, you know, Karen, what is your role in Candace's life? Well, I could be her fairy god auntie, okay? Because I have children Candace's age, a little younger, but I do. My son is a few years younger than Candace. And that's the mother in me that got up. But I was a friend at that moment that said, look, this is your home. Don't let anybody do that to you. And Ashley knows how to push your buttons. She can push buttons left and right. Just don't let her get to you. That's my thing.
Do you know whose sausage Michael said he wanted to suck?
I'm going to tell you. Woo! I have been teasing Ray left and right. I said, Ray, everybody that we could, you know, X off the board, it's just you and Juan. It's just you and Juan. And so Ray's like, I know it's not mine. I said, we don't know that. So I call Robin. And Robin, don't... I'll give you a little tea. Robin, I called her this weekend. Because Robin and I are pretty cool. You know, it's really good to grow with women. And I've grown with Robin. And Juan picked up the phone. Hello? When I called Robin, he picked up her phone. I said, you know why I'm calling. Because it's down to the two of you. And Ray, I'm here teasing him. And the only thing Robin Dixon has said to me, she didn't even say it to me. She said, send Ray a message. He doesn't need to worry. So it's not Ray. I can share that with you guys. Woo! But no. Ray was like, it's not mine.
How were you able to eliminate the other husbands?
That's easy. That's so freaking easy. We are friends.
Yeah.
And so for me, you know, the process of elimination was easy. It was never, it was down to Ray and Juan. And Ray don't need to worry. Chris Samuels, really, Monique has handled that. Mo, I got your back. Monique's handled that during the show. And Monique and I are very cool. But
Yeah.
And if you all are listening, the supposed person, and I don't like using those. If you notice, I never use a D word. We have heard that all season. But if you look at it and you listen to it, the storyline tells you all, as we live our lives in front of the camera, that the supposed sausage was not in the room and Chris Bassett was in the room. Come on now. Let's just do some tea. Ooh, let's sip.
It's like an adult version of Guess Who.
It really is. And that's why it's so good.
Yeah.
That's why it's crazy, though. It's insane.
Well, on a more serious note, what was your first reaction when you heard the allegations against Michael?
Well, allegedly the charges have been dropped. Of course, I've known Michael for 4 years now, and I've seen this behavior on film. So, of course, I'm like, okay, no big deal. Michael has, you know, done it again. He struck again. But at the same time, this time, it wasn't within our group. It wasn't, not that that's okay either. Consent has to always happen. Everyone knows that I was a rape victim. And so consent, beginning, middle, into the end is huge with me. So my thing was, oh, Michael, you can't keep playing this way. If it's playing. But then the charges came out. The alleged charges were, what was that? That it was not harassment. It was sexual assault. What a big difference. And that's when I called my lawyer. I'm like, how do I talk about this and not crucify Michael until we find out what's going on? But I took it very seriously, and I still do. I still do. I would rather not talk about it anymore. I'm glad that the charges have been dropped, and I hope that Michael has learned from this. You have to have consent. You just can't, you know. And if I were Ashley, I would not have defended him because we've seen this. I would say, honey, look, you can't do this, okay? And do I believe that it happened? Yes, I do, because of your past behavior. But do I think it was assault, sexual assault? No. But certainly this young man felt strongly enough to use our justice system to question his behavior. So we will always have a lingering question mark over Michael now because of that. So I wasn't there. I didn't see it. But you're asking me, what do I feel? And based upon his past actions, I feel he did it. But he could have been joking. You can't joke like that.
Did you reach out to Ashley after she gave birth?
You know I did. Everyone knows who I am as a human being, you know. And it's not a weakness. It's a blessing. I told Ashley, even during this whole, I can't tell you everything, it wasn't Ashley that did this. Why are we persecuting Ashley? Why are we lynching Ashley? It's Michael that allegedly did this. So absolutely, I text her immediately because I knew how important it was for her to have this baby. Now she has a bundle of joy, and I wish her so much happiness with her son. I know how beautiful that is. I have a 31-year-old son, and this is going to change Ashley forever. I don't know that the old Ashley's going to disappear, but she'll be a better version of Ashley, I think.
Are you a betting woman? Because I want to know if you think Ashley and Michael.
Don't do it. Don't do it! What are you going to do?
Well, you know, make it.
My hope is if this is what Ashley wants for herself, that it makes it. I have no clue. I don't live their lives. As much as they tried to live my life and tell my story for 3 years, I'm not going to write. I'm not the author of Ashley Darby's life. I just want the best for her and her son now. That's all I want. So if the best for her is Michael Darby, make it. If not, pack his bag, kick his ass out, and keep it moving.
You've said a few things today, before and today, during just recording, that made me think maybe you and Giselle aren't in a great place today.
We're not. I'll be very candid. We're not. But do I lose sleep over Giselle? No, I just accept Giselle. You know, she's an old friend that has an old habit of stirring the pot. And that sort of gives her, and it's dangerous what she does, because it gives her this split personality thing. The Giselle I knew, as I said before when I was here last, I don't know this Giselle today. I'm not sure that the Giselle I knew ever existed. But I'm open, you know. Hey, I accept both Giselles. There's certainly some split personality going on here. And I'm cool with that. And whatever, Giselle and I are great TV. Let's just be real. She's good. She's funny, but so am I. But I walk in my truth, and I don't stir the pot. I just take your reality and give it back to you in a very authentic way. And that's totally different. I'm not using you to stand. I stand on my own 2 feet. And when you try and mess with my feet, I take your feet from under you. Next.
Are you still all on a group chat together?
We are. Oh, my God. I make sure we are a we. Listen, let me be very clear with you. R-H-O-P is a we. And Giselle is included in that. But now what's really happening is all the girls, even Robin, is starting to see Giselle for who she is. Let's just be clear.
Ooh.
You saw Giselle threw her under the table at dinner.
I mean.
Let's be very clear. And I was so proud. May I talk about that?
Yeah.
The dinner scene where I get up and I hug Robin. And Giselle says, oh, Karen threw you under the bus. She tells Ashley that, and she's in there talking about you. She drove over you 4 or 5 times. First of all, was I driving Giselle's milk carton of a car? No, I was not, and no, I didn't say that. I got up to hug Robin because Robin found her voice. Even doing, first of all, she found it twice. Let me just do this, and I love where Robin is right now. Shout out to Robin Dixon. Giselle threw her under the bus, and she called. She was like, oh, my God, I know you didn't do that. But then she told her truth, and Ashley wanted her to recant it. Robin walked in her truth the entire time. She didn't back off. Robin Dixon has found her voice. Yes, Lord. And I love that. That's why I hugged Robin. It was not about tearing down Ashley. Ashley had already been destroyed at that table. I don't do that. I don't have to do that. Giselle gassing up Ashley doesn't help Ashley when she's trying. Ashley and I are trying to get to a better place, and I'm open to that. But we don't need people like Giselle, you know, trying to destroy this group. It's not okay, because you're going behind the scenes lying and gassing up the girls. And now I wonder how Ashley feels knowing I didn't say it. Mm. I didn't do that. And so, you know, which led to the hoedown, which was a showdown. And don't come for me. I've always said that I don't start it, but I finish it.
Was the hoedown a turning point for you this season?
I got to tell you, I think the dinner was. Now, you have to understand, I was in grief, grieving for both parents up until that was the first time being with the girls, all of them collectively, at the dinner. The hoedown was not a turning point. I think the turning point, honestly, was when I had that moment in the salt cave where my dad, let me be very clear, I felt his spirit. Not that, bless this lady's heart, that was trying to bring him in, but my daddy was there anyway. Let's just be real. I could feel my father with me, and you know when, and that was real for me. So I think the salt cave, and ironically, it was with Ashley. So, you know, I'm open to all things, all good things, positive with the girls moving forward. We are we. Giselle just needs to get on the script.
Mm. The reunion is coming up.
Oh, Father God, pray for us. It's like a boxing match. You go in. I'm training now. Go ahead. Yeah.
Who are you nervous for?
No one.
You don't think anyone's going to be in the extra hot seat?
Oh, my God. Ashley is clearly in the hot seat this season, and I've been there. I don't, you know, really. But Ashley's a very smart girl. We'll see how that works out. But, yeah, Ashley's going to be in the hot seat this season. I've been there for 3 years. She can handle it. I handled it for 3. Ashley, come on now. You can pull it for 1. We're good.
Do you know what you're wearing yet?
Oh, my God. Okay. We've been told white. If I have to wear one more white gown, I'm just going to shoot myself. We were in white for our picture. I'm like, who chose white? But I'm going to bring it. You know, I always do. I love dressing up and playing dress up. So this is a challenge for me, though, because we just did the white. And I thought, didn't I do it well enough? Why do I have to repeat? But I'm looking high and low. I'm going to surprise you guys, though. It's going to be fun. I got a trainer now. I'm working out on the abs. Let's shout out to George. I'm going to fire you after the reunion. It's so painful. But no, I don't know the designer yet. I don't know what I'm going to do. But I have a huge arsenal when it comes to my look. My team is so instrumental. Steven, Robin. I don't do it by myself. If you look at the pictures from last reunion, they tore up my gown and remade it. So I never know what I'm going to look like. So I go with the feeling, you know. It's going to be fantastic. I know that.
Well, I think I at least know what fragrance you'll wear.
I certainly will wear La Dame by Karen Huger. Thank you very much for letting me plug that. We are in Bloomingdale's, popping up in September in Atlanta. Hello.
That's so exciting.
Isn't it amazing? God is just so good. And I got news for you. Here's a bit of tea. I'm in the Fab Fit Fun box as well.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, that'll be in the fall. So if you want to try it out, just check it off. And, the opportunities, I just thank God.
Yeah.
If you keep pushing and standing and living your truth, and no matter what people say about you, they can't write your story. You're the author. And thank God, I'm honored. Don't make me cry, because my mom has a lot to do with that. I know she's up in heaven just pushing, like, okay, Jesus, can you help her? And I thank God for that. But it's been a long journey, and it's been worth me being very businesslike about it, and I'm glad I did. And Bloomingdale saw the gift, and I just gift Andy last night, and his mom.
Oh,
I ran him down.
I'm
like,
her.
Give her a bottle. Give your mom a bottle. So, that felt good. That really feels good when I can give a mother. I don't like selling to mothers. I like giving it. So I ran him down and I'm like, here, put one in your office and give this to your mommy.
Aww.
So yeah, that was pretty cool.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast, telling us all of this stuff.
Well, you are so welcome, and stay tuned. It ain't over.
Yeah.
It ain't over, ladies. And it's going to be a hoot. It's going to be a hoot. And I'm so proud that I want to say this because it's very important that the girls hear I say this. We are a family. RHOP is a family, including Giselle. Just get on the script, Giselle.
Thank you. All right, so let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Eric, what was your rose?
Okay, my rose comes from Southern Charm New Orleans, and it was John Moody's performance piece and the art presentation that he gave about what it's like to be young, black, growing up in New Orleans.
I hope y'all enjoy this pop-up show.
The boys are gonna do a live performance about the struggles and beauties about being from New Orleans that are also gonna be congruent to two paintings that I've done.
You know, I come from a theater background, and so whenever I see art being used to, like, portray a message, especially a message of that importance, I always, always appreciate that. And I think it was just, like, I think Southern Charm New Orleans overall is doing a really good job of telling the story that needs to be heard right now by a lot of people who may not be aware of what's really going on in places like New Orleans and places all over the country. So, John Moody, props to you and your muscles. What was your rose?
So it's kind of a sad rose, but still an important one, which was on Below Deck Med, Aisha reveals that she's been assaulted in the past. And while that was terrible, and it was because Jack was making a joke about it, what really touched me was like his response to finding out what happened to her,
mm-hmm.
and him taking responsibility for his comments, but also really empathizing with her. And like when he started crying and was like, I just want to leave right now and go talk to her.
I've said something stupid. She's such a lovely girl, isn't she? Like, the shitty things happen to her. I can't even think about anything else. I just want to go and speak to her.
That really touched me that he... Because we always see him being so, like, silly and, jokey, but it was nice for him to be really serious in that moment and like that he really cares about her.
Right. Yeah. No, that's what I was going to say. The same exact thing you did is that we are so used to seeing him being kind of like the clown and the jokester. And he's always talking about like wanting to sleep with women. But seeing that other side of him and seeing a new layer of who he is, it just makes me like him even more.
Yeah.
Okay, what was your thorn?
Also Jack and Aisha, but they were drunk and he was licking her feet in the back of the van.
So no foot fetish for you.
No. Like, can I tell you, even if a hand just brushes up against my feet during sex, I'm just like, like, just... It...
What position are you in? Okay, well, going off of that, though, did you see over the weekend, Army Hammer was trending on Twitter? And do you know why he was trending on Twitter?
It was, I know it's something this? About feet, but I didn't click.
Okay, well, I clicked, okay? I went there.
Okay.
And what triggered it for me was not seeing him trending, but seeing a tweet about why it was trending. I think it was from Evan Ross Katz, who I love on Twitter, and he had basically just like a collage of all different like Bravo celebrities reacting with disgust. And I was like, okay, I need to figure out what Army Hammer is trending for. So he was catching a lot of heat because he posted a video on, I think, his Instagram story. And it was of his son, who's probably like 3 or 4 years old, like sucking on his toes.
Sucking on his own toes?
Sucking on Army Hammer's toes.
Oh.
And it was just for like a second. And like he laughed. And then I'm assuming his wife or whatever, the mother of the child, was next to him and laughed. And they were just like, oh, this kid's so crazy or whatever. And it was, you know, whatever. And then the kid just like stopped and like ran off. So he posted that just thinking like, oh, it's funny, whatever. This is just like us at home, whatever. And so everyone was sort of like, had a very similar to you visceral reaction to like, oh my God. That's unacceptable.
It's disgusting.
And I feel like this is one of those examples where celebrities are sharing too much and they don't know like what should just not, number one, be happening. And
yes!
number two being shared. Because so I feel like it was what, the Beckhams or somebody was catching heat about kissing their kid on the lips or something.
That's different to me. That is not the same. Here's the thing.
It's not the same as sucking toes.
Yeah, kissing, like a kiss on the lip, that's whatever. But like, okay, you would tell a child no if they were trying to lick the ground. Why would you let them suck on your toe? I can't, like.
So for you, it's really just a sanitation thing.
Yes. What other? That's disgusting. I mean, I would also find it weird if the kid was just sucking on his fingers, to be fair.
Right. Totally. Yeah. No, I agree. But yeah. So, I mean, Jack and Aisha. Jack and Aisha.
Aisha.
Jack and Aisha. And Army Hammer. A lot of feet licking. With that said, I'll share my rose.
Okay.
I mean, my thorn.
Yeah.
My thorn is also John Moody. From Southern Charm New Orleans, wearing that lime green turtleneck sweater to the performance and art show.
All his tops are too tight in the arms.
I am not even offended by that, but it reminded me of two things. Like, he was supposed to be on a green screen. Like, he was supposed to be in a movie where, you know, when you see behind the scenes of something with a lot of CGI and it's just like the guys in the green suits. It reminded me of that. But it also reminded me of that really funny picture of Dwayne The Rock Johnson that went viral a few years ago where it was like him in the really tight turtleneck with the necklace around. And I was like, maybe he's trying to like do a play on that. But I think a lot of things John Moody wears are cool. And then a lot of things are like way off.
Yeah, I'm going to go with way off.
This one was way off. Sorry, John. Next week, we have Aisha Scott from Below Deck Mediterranean and my girl Tamika Lee from Southern Charm New Orleans.
I'm Jane Wells.
And I'm Chuck Schaefer. On the next American Greed podcast special, a new drug promises to be a game changer in the bedroom.
But after its discovery comes money and a murder and a battle over its billion-dollar secret to great sex.
Subscribe for free to the American Greed podcast. 10-9-8-7-6-5-4-3-2-1-9.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at Bravo TV.
Don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question. start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out. You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
TTYL.
Bye.
Bye. Looking fine, and I got my girls with me.